Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you for joining the Anointing Full Gospel Center, presenting the Anointed Women's Ministry. Just coming to you today, this Friday, March the 31st. We just hope and pray that everybody is having a blessed week, and we just thank God for another day, another opportunity that we have life, another opportunity that we're able to just be able to live and be able to move, breathe, and have our being because of God. So with that being said, again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. We thank God. We honor God. We honor our leader, Chief Apostle Margaret L. Moore. And we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for taking the time out with us this day. So again, as we go forward in today's topic is something that came to me, and it was about motives. What's driving our motives and decisions? What's the cause of it? What's the purpose of it? You know, because oftentimes, especially I was thinking before I came on this afternoon, is we live in a society that has been so empowered by what we see. It's been so empowered by what we hear that motivates us in how we may carry our day-to-day lives and how we operate. These past few years have been what's happening on the news, what's happening in politics, what's happening around the world, what is happening in our government, what's happening with the military, what's happening in our schools, what's happening in society, period. And because of that, what God put in my mind was that it's very important to pay attention to how what we see, what we hear, our senses. It's important to pay attention how we're being affected, because how we're being affected can actually affect our choices. It can affect our decisions. And if we just take a moment just in that and look back in the very beginning in the Bible in Genesis, that was the enemy's tactics. He used deception by trying to manipulate Eve by what she saw, trying to say that looking at the tree, oh, it's good to eat it, you know, by what she saw and what she heard. When Satan tried to make her believe that God was holding something from her, those are our senses. He's the same serpent. The Bible calls Satan that he is an ancient or an old serpent. He does not change. And in this season in our lives, I encourage everybody to take the time to understand our motives, understanding what's driving our decisions, what has been influenced in the choices we make in this day. And it doesn't have to be something as like a life decision or just every day. Every day, let's pay attention to how what we see, what we hear, motive has motivated our choices. And so in this lesson, it's going to be actually from Genesis 16. This is during the time of Abram. God had not changed his name to Abraham yet. So during this time, his name was Abram, and his wife's name was Sarai, as we know that her name was changed as well to Sarah. But before her name was changed, her name was Sarai. And God had promised Abraham, because Abraham desired a son. He was 75 years old when God had called him out of, he had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Then his father, Lot, they left. They went to Haran. When they came to Haran, which is Abraham's father, Terah's homeland, and when they were there, Terah died. So God told Abraham to go. Go to the place in which God will be the one to show him, show Abram where he was going to take him. So in this particular lesson, God had a conversation with Abraham. Because Abraham, again, he desired a son. He desired an heir. And when Abraham had mentioned that Eleazar, which is his servant, he would be the one that would be the heir of everything that he has because he doesn't have a son. And God told Abraham that he won't be your heir. God was going to bless Abraham with a seed that is going to come out of his loins, be a part of his flesh and his blood. And it's not going to be Eleazar. And so God had promised him and gave him to know that this is something that I'm going to do for you. So in chapter 16 is the experience in Abram's life with Hagar. Now, Hagar was an Egyptian slave of Sarai. And so in verse 1 of chapter 16, again, we're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 16, chapter 1 reads, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had bore him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar." Verse 2. "So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her.'" I want to end there. And in that lesson or in that experience with, and even just so much, and in that experience that Sarai had, she wanted to have a family as well. She wanted to give Abram this experience of bearing him children. Because if we take time to look at where they were in society during that time in history, it was considered something that was looked down upon if you're a woman who didn't have children. So just imagine what she may be experiencing, what she's hearing, what she's seeing. And so now that in itself, with anybody, we can even just pull it into ourselves, apply it to our own day-to-day lives and things in which we may either desire, things in which that may be a concern of ours. And now it has affected our emotions. It has affected how we make choices. It has affected us that now this choice that now we need to make has now been affected by what has just happened, or what we may have just experienced. And what God gives us to understand that in our day-to-day lives, look, we're human. I remember Chief Apostle always wants us to understand the humanity that comes along in this walk in Christ. Look, we can't get rid of it. But the key is that we have Christ to help us. And Christ gives us such a powerful blessing and privilege, and that is to look, recognize it, understand what you're feeling, understand what you're experiencing. Because if something like that goes unattended, it's going to produce an unsuccessful result. Because if we look further down, and again, whenever you get time, look into chapter 16, because what actually ends up happening, because again, remember, Sarah's motive was, look, I can't do this. God is keeping me from bearing this child according to what she believed, because God already told Abram that he was going to bear children, that this was something he was going to bless them with. So because of, again, we can be influenced by what we see, what we hear, by our senses, and easily cause us to make choices that are unsuccessful. Remember this, is before I came on, the one thing that came to me, and I thank God for, is that the enemy and society will want to make us feel as if that we are lacking or not valuable or not strong enough if we choose to take the time and recognize where we're at. As if we're not good enough to take the time for ourselves. No, take the time. You're good enough. You're strong enough. That does not devalue you, because you're saying, look, this is what I need. This situation or this that I'm experiencing has affected me. So I need to deal with this, because if not, you understand that it could produce an unsuccessful result. And as we look further in chapter 16, this idea that Sarah had, she thought, okay, well, I desire to have a family through Hagar. So she thought, okay, Hagar's going to bear this child, and we're going to be a family. But as we know, through the experience in Abram's life during this time, that was not so. When Ishmael was born, Hagar and Sarah, in other words, there was a feud. There was an issue. The Bible even talks about how Hagar despised Sarah, and Sarah in turn began to mistreat Hagar to the point that she ran away. But because of God had a plan for Ishmael, he told her to go back and gave Hagar a note to name him Ishmael, and God will take care of him and God will bless him. So the point of it is that to understand this, is that whatever choice we make, there's going to be an outcome of it. It may not always be how we desired. Sarah really believed that this outcome of this plan, that she thought it was going to be so successful, so great, that it was going to produce this thing that she wanted, this outcome, this family that she wanted, and wanting to do this for Abram. And if we don't recognize where we're at, we will make choices that are not successful. And Sarah wasn't alone. Sarah wasn't alone. Abram, when she brought this idea to her husband Abram, he said, okay. And remember, God gave that promise to Abram, gave him to know. So if we're not careful, we will allow what we hear, what other people say, we will allow what we see to influence us and cause us to try to come up with a solution of ourselves, come up with a plan to do God's will for our lives in our own power. And what I want to encourage everybody, take the time to confront whatever it is we may be experiencing, whatever it may be hard for us to embrace, accept, whatever may be affecting us, take the time to address it. Because if we make decisions in that, it is not going to be successful. Because as we know, it was not successful with Abram, with Sarai, and with Hagar, and then Abram was in the middle of it as well. He had to deal with, look, this is my son. You remember, Abram had Ishmael till he was in his teens. He was 14 years old when he had to let them go. So that, just imagine how much that tore Abram apart. But of course, as the strength of God, he helped him through that. But just think about, he built this relationship with his son. And just think about how Sarah thought that this plan was going to be so successful. But it actually, in turn, it backfired. It ended up being something that she was so unhappy with. And that's why it's very important, and just wanting to encourage everybody, whatever may have hurt, because look, with society, things that is going on today, we can easily get affected by it. And I remember hearing Elder Harrison share one day at church and was saying that how God told her that if I need your help, I'll ask you. And so that has always stuck with me, and I'm thankful that she shared that. And that's why it's always important to be thankful for those who are in your life, because it is in their testimonies, it is in their sharing that God will bring back to us in our situations and in our lives to be able to make different decisions and to be encouraged in times where we may feel distressed or discouraged. So in that, look, God has a plan. He has a purpose. And if we try to figure it out, if we try to do it of ourselves, what's going to end up happening is that we're going to be the ones to have to deal with that unsuccessful outcome. And God does not want any of us to have to go through that. And again, if we don't uncheck what's the reason for these motives, it's going to bring about these unsuccessful decisions. And that's something that God does not want any of us to have to deal with. So he wants to teach us and give us to know that, look, there's nothing wrong because we are because the world we live in, because how things may affect us, or how things may affect us in our past, in our youth, in our teen years, whatever it is, in our adulthood, whatever it may be. It could be something that may have happened this morning, and now you're driving down the street, and that's on your mind, and you're frustrated, you're mad about it, you're cutting people off, and not intending to, but because of that thing that's not addressed, it's still there, it's still lingering, it's going to affect how you live your day. And that in itself is an unsuccessful decision. And that's something that God wants us to know. Like, look, it's okay. Take 5 minutes. But you're human. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to be and feel like you're so strong. Just deal with it. Move on and just keep going. You got to just keep going. Keep going. Yes, God wants us to keep going. But he also wants us to be able to deal with whatever we need to deal with. Keep going in our faith. Keep going in how God will bring understanding, how he would bring truth. Keep going and being able to grab a hold to the truth of the gospel and being able to know how to walk in it. Because it's a bad thing to hear it, but you are not a doer of the word of God. God wants us not to hear it, but to do it. And in order to do it, we got to embrace it. Embrace the word. I remember there was an exercise that was given. Look, Chief Apostle gave us tissue boxes. And when it got to Elder Harrison, she wouldn't let that go for dear life. Even when the exercise was over with, she wouldn't let it go. Chief had to let her know, look, no, it's time. We're finished. But the key of it is that, look, whatever God gives us, whatever it is, look, embrace it. Sometimes it may not feel good to address what that is. It's not may not always feel good to address it. Look, what this person may have done, or even just to accept it. Accept, that's one thing I'm learning. Accept people and the choices that they make. Accept it. Accept that, look, this may have bothered me. This may have hurt me. This choice that I may have made, it may not have been the best choice, but look, let me deal with it, because if not, it's affecting everything I do going forward. And that's what God wants us to do. And what the word that came to me is to evolve. God wants us to evolve. And that means we have to come from somewhere. And the word that God gave us is that to give us to know, like, look, after this, we have got to come out of some stuff to go into where God has called us to. That means coming out of the old ways. Look, let go, being able to address whatever the concerns are, address whatever the struggle might be, address it, because if not, it's going to keep us in that place, that holding place, not being able to move forward, but being able to just continue in that same cycle over and over and over again. And then I'm reminded about chapter 10 in the book, I When I Am a Survivor by Margaret L. Moore. Chapter 10 is such an encouraging chapter. All the chapters are, but when you get to chapter 10, after embracing every single chapter from 1 to 9, you come to the place of evolving. Evolving from being able to confront the choices, confronting that maybe that bad relationship or that unsuccessful choice, accepting our own responsibility, accepting that, look, I can't put the blame on them. Yes, they may have been wrong in this, but look, I accepted to move forward in it. I am first to admit I was the one. I was the one who walked in that as well. So this is something that gives us the encouragement of knowing that, look, you can and you will evolve. You don't have to remain where you're at. There is something greater. There is a higher height that God has for all of us to get to. But to understand that, look, we are not inviolable simply because of things may affect us. We may need to say no to this or say no to that to be able to address what we need to tend to ourselves. Because if not, what good can we be to somebody else if we are lacking, if we are unbalanced? And I remember hearing that, yeah, actually in the book, and actually hearing it at church. Look, if something is unbalanced, if our thinking is unbalanced, then we are going to be unable to function in our lives, with our loved ones, in our jobs, just even being able to go to a bank, a store, whatever it is, because we are unbalanced. Unbalance can come from an unresolved concern or a problem or issue that may have just happened and not dealing with it. Deal with it. Again, this does not mean that something that has to be something big. Again, it could be something that is big or hurt from our past. It could be something that just happened a couple moments ago. Don't allow it to go unattended. Deal with it. Because once you do, I promise you, because I've experienced it, once you deal with it, you feel this freedom, you feel this weight being lifted, because now you can move forward without feeling weighed down. And even if you have no one to talk to, sometimes you just need to get it out. God is always there. Sometimes you may find yourself just, because I pace up and down the hallway all day, talking to God. Whatever it is may be on my heart, just let it out. If something that bothers you or something that concerns you, you don't have to try to figure it out, because we see what happened when Sarai tried to figure it out, when she came up with a plan to try to work out her that situation, that concern in her life. We saw the outcome of it. You don't have to try to figure it out. All you got to do is look, acknowledge it, go to the source who can help you. And so that's what God wants to encourage us today. Just take the time for you. Take the time and whatever you need to be able to be balanced, to be secure, to be confident in whatever you need. And one of the things when I was preparing for today, yesterday, the thought that came to me was an experience. And it was a few years ago, and it was right after a church sermon. And the lesson was about not being pushed, being able to recognize the enemy. And that's one thing to hopefully you guys get out of this is recognize the enemy. Because I don't know about you, but oftentimes when those situations happen and now I'm affected, I may be upset, may become anxious, may become feeling rushed and all those things, something right after is going to come up. And if that's what God may have intended for me to be able to be an encouragement to somebody, somebody may need help with something. And if I'm rattled up because of this prior situation, I'm not going to be effective in his kingdom in that kind of mindset. So in that situation that we had just learned about recognizing the enemy in the way or in the tactic, he will cause us to feel rushed. Rushed or the situation may be filled with confusion. And right after that week, I had a situation where I was working with a local mechanic who worked out of his house, and he was rushing. He was telling me, he was on the phone, like, I'm here at AutoZone, you need to get the part, and I need to do it now. And he was just rushing. And the Holy Spirit brought back to me what was taught. And that in itself gave me to know how to handle that. So in that, I just said, no, don't do it. Granted the fact I did need the part, but because of that teaching of, you don't have to rush. That's a tactic of the enemy. So once I said no, coming to find out I didn't need the part as much as he proclaimed I needed it. And I didn't have to pay for it, and the service I needed was covered. But if I would have felt rushed and gave into that, I would have missed the blessing. I would have missed the opportunity. And so, again, recognize the tactics of the enemy. Recognize that the enemy does not want you to succeed. He does not want you to get to that finish line. Every day has a purpose. Every Friday is not just a Friday. Every Monday is not just a Monday. God has a strategic plan why he woke you up this morning. He has a purpose as why he calls you to get up, to be upon your way, to get to that destination. Or he may whisper and tell you to give you to know, go this way instead of that way. Do this instead of that. Instead of doing this assignment in that direction, do it in this way. There is a purpose as to why he does what he does every single day. The Bible says his mercies are new every day. And the enemy does not like that. The enemy does not like how much God loves you. He does not like how much God protects you, how much God is in your life. He does not like how much God loves you, and he holds you in the palm of his hand. The enemy does not like that. So he's going to come at you every which way you can, but if we don't recognize, if we don't know how to pinpoint, then we will be falling short every single day, every single time. We will miss the mark so we can evolve. We will miss the mark so we can grow. And we will remain in that place of allowing our senses to rule us. Because remember, the enemy works not in our spirit. That's where God, that's where God dwells. The enemy works with our senses. And if we are not mindful and to realize that, look, what I just saw, now I have to address that because it has affected me. Think about even what our thoughts are, how we may feel, address whatever it is, because if not, that is what the enemy will use to cause defeat against God's people. So at this moment, I just want to take the time to go to the book, I Win, I Am a Survivor. And if you have your book, it's on page 120, and it is reading in reference to acceptance. And it reads, acceptance is the way to go when encountering unwanted circumstances that necessitate qualitative logic, reasoning, and analytical thinking. It involves quality time spent in making conscious and crucial decisions that have the possibility to affect your life, my life, for years to come. As we talked about with Sarah, she had this thought, she had this plan, this idea that not just affected that moment, but it affected years to come. In reading on, it says, there may be times when you struggle with accepting things you don't necessarily want to accept, but it's nevertheless needful when making decisions that require right judgment without the need for unwanted, unnecessary, and undeniable regret. And we're going to stop it there. That in itself is very powerful because it sums up the importance of taking the time to address these unwanted circumstances. Do we want when things happen? Do we like feeling unbalanced? Do we like when this happens or this has affected me or what it looks like, what it sounds like, what's on my mind? Those are unwanted. We don't raise our hands for stuff like that. But because it has happened, deal with it. Because the longer we choose to wanting to acknowledge, the longer we want to play as if it doesn't exist, the longer we're going to remain in that place. And the choices we make will be affected by it. And it's not just going to be that moment. And what I've also learned, every choice and decisions that we make affect somebody else. And if we are not careful, we will continue in that same cycle. And we will never evolve from that place. And even the very last few words that I thought was very, it hit home. And it talks about making decisions that require right judgment without the need for unwanted, unnecessary, and undeniable regret. We've got to spend the time with ourselves. I'm not talking about you may not have to spend hours at a time, but look, spend 5 minutes, do a self-evaluation. Where is my mind at right now? Where's my heart at right now? Do a self-evaluation because if not, you never know what decisions you may have to make. You never know what you may have to do that requires your clear and sound judgment. And if you're not able to be in that sound place, then you're going to end up making a decision that you may regret. And God has a plan. He has a purpose, and he wants us to make it. He wants us to get there. So he wants us to know, look, take the time. You are worthy of it. You deserve that. Take the time for you. Take the time. Whether you're riding in the car, you need just 5 minutes. Just take it. Just take whatever you need to be able to be in a sound and well-balanced place in your life. Because when you're confronted with needing to make a decision, that's going to fall back on you, not nobody else. So we're going to end today with that. And again, I encourage us all to know that how much God loves us. He loves us with such an undeniable love that stretches to the four corners of the universe, that he wants us to know that, look, I'm concerned about your everyday. I want you to evolve. I want you to come into a greater understanding. So just take the time. Take the time for you, because no one else is going to do it. I remember Chief Apostle taught us that. No one else is going to do it. You've got to do what's best for the individual, for yourself. So again, we just encourage you. We thank you so much for taking the time out with us on this Friday, March the 31st. We thank God, blessing us to see another month. So we just want to end with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. We grace your throne in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, thanking you for the opportunity to come to you. We thank you, God, for your love and your compassion, your kindness and your mercy and your consideration for us. My Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we pray for all those as they go forward on this line, as they go forward in their day, in their lives, Heavenly Father, that they will be able to recognize where we're at, my Lord, to be able to know that, Lord, you love them, to be in a place that is balanced, to be in a place that is well-watered, my Lord God. So we just say thank you for all that you're doing. We say thank you for the for this opportunity, and we pray that everybody is blessed, that they're safe as it even goes into the weekend. So we thank you again for this opportunity in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. So again, thank you everyone for taking the time. And again, be blessed.